I've been waiting for something to happen, for a week or a month or a year, with the blood and the ink of the headlines and the sound of the crowd in my ear. You might ask what it takes to remember when you know that you've seen it before, where a government lies to a people and a country is drifting to war. There's a shadow on the faces of the men who sent the guns to the wars that are fought in places where their business interests run. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing again and again: how the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid of a friend. But who are the ones that they call our friends? These governments killing their own, or the people who finally can't take anymore, and they pick up a gun or a brick or a stone. And there are lights in the balance.
From deep in the heart of Texas, Premier Radio Networks presents Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
You know, about 2 years ago, I got a phone call on Coast to Coast one night from someone who said, George, you ought to have a fellow by the name of Alex Jones on the program. And I said, well, who's Alex Jones? What does he do? And he says, well, he's got his own talk show, and he just talks about issues that affect Americans. Get him on. And I very abruptly said to him, I said, no, I don't put other talk show hosts on the show, and I politely moved on to my next caller. Well, I had an opportunity over that time to listen to some of the work that Alex Jones did. And though I don't believe in everything Alex says, because I'm an American and I have my own views, I realized that what he did have to say was very compelling and very worthwhile for everybody to stop and think and listen for a moment. So it was at that point we invited Alex on the program on Coast to Coast, and we talked about the Bohemian Grove. We'll talk a little bit about that again tonight. And I realized that at least one thing, over and above everything he does, Alex Jones makes you think. In a moment, my guest, live from Austin, as we are in the studios of KLBJ, Alex Jones. Alex Jones is a documentary filmmaker. He is an author. His latest film is American Dictators, documenting the staged election, he calls, of 2004. The film details the secret brotherhood, to which he says include both Bush and Kerry, how electronic voting machines threaten our constitutional republic and exposes the Orwellian police state being constructed, as well as the latest revelations in the 9/11 cover-up. His websites, Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, serve as a daily intelligence report for a public so hungry to look behind the iron curtain of elite media control. Tonight, live with me in Austin, Texas, Alex Jones. Alex, how are you?
Wow, I'm in studio with George Norrie talking about the New World Order. This is amazing.
Now, is it true that you were camped outside the studios for 3 days waiting to get in here?
No, you're absolutely right, George. Listening to the first hour, it's true. Out there in a leaky tent. Maybe got a cold from it.
And, I can't hide from you, can I? You know, since you were last on, which was several months ago, still so much has happened. As you know, we did a little analysis after the election. George W. Bush wins. There are still lawsuits going on in Ohio. I don't know what's going to happen there. There are still some congressional problems as well. Congressman John Conyers of Detroit thinks that that needs to be investigated, so he's doing what he has to do. But overall, this whole planet, Alex, continues, I think, to change. And a lot of the things that you do are based on events that you uncover based on what media report on that a lot of people miss.
Well, that's it. I mean, I go after things that fall through the cracks and then try to connect it all together and show the big picture. I mean, I'm not for Kerry or Bush, but clearly, if you look at the evidence, Kerry won Ohio and New Mexico, and then Kerry didn't challenge it. Because you can't just stage an election unless you get the candidate who you're running against, who you're scamming to take a dive. And I'm sorry, the facts are the facts. With the 2004 election, I think Kerry actually won, but it doesn't matter because either way, a Skull and Bones member who are interrelated, both cousins on mm-hmm. both sides of their family, would have been in the White House, and presidents are just puppets. Things are so complex now. I mean, I know we have trouble running our own lives. Life is so fast now. There's so many different facets, but they really are just puppets to, I don't want to say corporate interest, mega corporate interests that aren't even free market. And we have a chance here, kind of in this acceleration period or this quickening. A lot of corporations and the middle class and people in the power structure itself are beginning to be threatened by the changes that are happening. And I think that we can use that momentum to counter the ultra elites and try to bring some balance back.
See, I've always called it, as you have too, the power elitists, the people who are out there who control the strings of the puppets. And for some reason, they have more money than God. I don't know what more they want, but they want this omnipotent power. They want to control. They want to control people's lives.
Well, George, I mean, a normal person, my dad told me this many years ago. He goes, son, a normal person gets a few million bucks, has the jet boat, the big house, and the happy family. They don't want any more. And you can become wealthy and happy if you're smart without being corrupt. But to get to the very highest levels, you have to be ruthless and not have a conscience and enjoy that power and control. And so we have a social Darwinist system where the most corrupt, the most sadistic, get into those positions over those mechanisms and levers of control, and then they become delusional, and they always want more power and control, and there's never enough. There's never enough for this elite, and they're threatened by free humanity, and they want to stamp out that consciousness that they don't control.
Do you believe that's what's happening to us right now is a planned, controlled situation? And let me give you an example. We may get a national ID card. We may get all chipped in our hands. We may have our passports all changed where we have special IDs. It just seems like everything seems to be revolving around identification, tracking of people.
Three of those four have already been implemented.
Well, and
it's happening right now. People, I mean, they passed the laws. They're just
sure, yeah. Exactly. I got a call just yesterday from someone during one of our open line portions, and she said that her company was requiring chips in their company ID cards. And I said, the next thing they'll ask you to do is to get a chip in your hand.
Well, the Mexican Attorney General already tried to make all his employees do it and announced that thousands had done it. Turned out that actually most revolted and didn't go along with it. But hundreds did take the chips. You're absolutely right, George. And how many Americans know that in mid-December in 2004, a month and a half ago, that a national ID card was passed? How many Americans know that a plan was passed 2 days before that to forcibly psychologically test every school-aged child from age 5 to 18 in America twice a year, and that the guidelines for these tests were written by the drug companies themselves, and the drug companies say, we're going to go from 15% of the kids on these psychotropics and serotonin reuptake inhibitors. We're going to go to 50%. How many Americans know that the Orwellian-termed New Freedom Initiative passed? If they don't listen to Coast to Coast AM or they don't visit Infowars.com, they're not going to know about this, George, and that's the problem, and that's where broadcasts like yours, one of the biggest radio shows in the world, come in. That's where it can have a major tipping effect in warning the population to resist this, because if we resist, there's no way that this ultra-elite are going to get away with this.
With what they want to do, is any of it good? I mean, are they doing some things that could be beneficial?
Well, certainly. Rat poison is 98% grain. Good, healthful, nourishing.
It all depends on how you eat it, huh?
It's exactly, but it's the 2% of the arsenic that, or the strychnine that gets the mouse or the rat. And the globalists are, you know, a diverse crowd, and they compete with each other at the high level of the pyramid up at the top. But they have general rules about how they keep us in the dark and basically dumb us down. And some of the elitists, like Bill Joy, the co-owner of Sun Microsystems in 2000, wrote for Wired magazine why the future doesn't need us. And he said, I've been to the elite meetings. The elite's talking about getting rid of most people and engineering us and controlling us. And I think it's wrong. And so I'm going to write a news article about it. The question is, are we going to listen?
A couple of years ago, most states passed what was called the Model States Health Powers Act.
Yes, they did.
That a lot of people, a lot of Americans aren't even aware of. We've talked a little bit about it. You have too. But this empowers the states that if there is some kind of epidemic, if it does exist, they can go up to Alex Jones, George Norrie, anybody else, and say, you're going to get vaccinated, and if you refuse this shot, we're putting you in a camp.
And if you try to resist, we're going to blow your head off. The Pentagon told the Detroit Free Press in early 2002, they said, if grandma resists, we will shoot her. I mean, that's a quote. And then, again, to some people that sounds reasonable, stop the plague from spreading. But then you look at the higher levels of agenda of problem, reaction, solution, creating the crisis, scaring the people, offering the solution, then it becomes clear. You know, what's the government doing, taking all our freedoms, creating spy networks and national ID cards and face scanning and license plate scanning cameras going up everywhere under FEMA and putting in command systems in every major county? What are they doing this for, but then leaving our borders wide open? And in the national ID card legislation that passed the 9/11 bill in December of 2004, just a month ago, why do they put a waiver in there where we accept all these consular matricula cards that you can buy for $25 and that are easily faked? They actually put an amnesty caveat in there to make it easier for our third world populations that are flooding in from China and Russia and Mexico and Venezuela and El Salvador and Poland. They're all wide open. England is passing a national ID card. In the legislation this week, it says, oh, but foreigners can come here freely and don't have to get an ID card for 6 months, as if a terrorist is, you know, gonna follow those rules or can't carry out their attack in 6 months. So it's all cynical. It has nothing to do with security, George.
What would you say to that one person out there who may say, Alex, you're anti-American. You're against our government. Go away. Move away if you don't like what's going on. What would you tell that one person?
Well, the founding fathers said, watch government, treat it like a fire. It can warm you or it can endanger you. And the price of liberty is eternal vigilance, and guard your liberties jealously. Don't give up your liberty for so-called security because you won't get it. And this is just common sense. This is just basic facts throughout history. And now we're told give up freedom and you'll get security. Well, that's a fraud. You get tyranny. You never get security giving up liberty in the long run. I mean, even if we had an angelic government run by wonderful people, which I'm not saying we do, it's an out-of-control oligarchy controlled by criminal interest, basically. Even if we had a perfect government, they're creating the systems, the mechanisms, the devices that can totally dominate societies. I mean, what would Hitler have done in the Weimar Republic before he came to power in 1933 would have had face scanning cameras and national ID cards and all of these systems? His power would have been even greater. And so what we need is to go back to liberty and freedom, and we need to follow the Constitution. The Constitution says you can't have troops in America calling us civilians, running our lives and running checkpoints, but you better have them on the border. But instead, we don't follow the Constitution. They're not on the border, but they are now every day involved in our lives. The New York Times is reporting that, you know, commandos are involved basically all over the country.
I saw one of the greatest lines I've seen in years when I'm reading this information about the upcoming Iraqi election. And it said that we are going to help secure the borders of Iraq to keep insurgents from trying to come in and disrupt the elections.
But we can't have our own borders.
Exactly. Why can't we secure our own?
Well, they can, but bottom line, the Democrats want the votes, so the Republicans, and they also want the cheap labor. And this is part of this new world order. I mean, it's not some patriot mythology that the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, and these have official websites with all our big world leaders being part of it. They say it's time for Americans to lose their standard of living. It's time for America to lower itself to second world status and raise the third world to second world status. And it's time for this tiny elite to run things and basically have a technocracy. And that's a fraud. The pie isn't one size. It grows. And all this does is aid the elite in control. And so they sell us on this line that we've got to give up all of our freedoms. Meanwhile, literally, to be a first-class citizen in America, you've got to be a billionaire elitist or an illegal alien. These guys have more rights than the average American citizen.
That's
and
true.
It's a joke.
I want Alex Jones to look in his crystal ball for a moment. And let's assume that everything government wants to do goes unchecked. What's going to happen? What's this country going to look like 10 years from now?
If the worst elements of the global crime syndicate get their wish list and if everybody laid down to them, we're looking in the next 20 years at control or release plagues, an 80% population reduction, and we're looking at a forced drug population with shaved heads and a Brave New World THX 1138, you know, type scenario, where you have this base level technology frozen at the point it's at right now, with elites that are kind of in these technological Mount Olympuses above us, basically in an orderly extermination of the population, so that this 20 to 500 million group, depending on which globalist document, it varies greatly.
Sure. But 500 has been the number I've seen.
Yeah, but 20 to 500 million in official UN documents. That'll be the small population that is basically allowed to go on. And the argument of the elite is, you ask if they do any good, they rationalize what they're doing by, well, and we've talked about this before, but this is the key point. We're doing this because if any third world country gets super bioweapons, you know, these advanced multi-strains, mm-hmm. let's say Ebola mixed with weaponized smallpox, then they can kill most of the people in the population, of the world population. So what we've got to do is get world tyranny in to stop all these countries from developing this, and to stop any of these countries from developing any of the advanced technologies that we've already created. So we've got to keep our monopoly of power, and that's the rationale. But meanwhile, I look at the globalists. They're busy giving nuclear reactors to North Korea. Donald Rumsfeld on the board of ABB did that. Just recently, our little buddy Pakistan helped give them more nuke systems. That's in ABC News Today. We catch...
Is not, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but is not Halliburton got a contract to help Iran with something?
Yes, they do. They've got a whole bunch of contracts. Look, during the congressional...
So on one hand, we have the president talking about Iran being an axis of evil, that we may go in there and do something. We may have to take out their nuclear power plants. And then we have an American corporation that our current vice president used to head up doing work in Iran.
You've seen the westerns where the regulators come into town to take the squatter's gold property.
Yeah.
You know, the old Clint Eastwood movies, those are based on true stories that happen quite often in this country. And, you know, the little family standing there and...
with their mouths open and they don't know what to do.
And the hired thugs throw a gun down. And then the hired thugs walk over and slap the man's wife across the face and break her nose and go, now what are you going to do about it? Pick that gun up. And when the little...
He goes for it.
He goes for the gun.
And they get him.
And they get him. So basically, they're giving him the gun. Pick up the gun, punk. Pick it up, kid. Go ahead. Make my day. And so they give him the gun. Here, you take the gun. And my point is, the elite has made so many incredibly ruthless decisions to get where they're at. A normal person with a normal conscience couldn't do that. And their rationale is, well, see, we are the most ruthless. We have the right to be in control and power. But no, they take enjoyment off dehumanization. They get off on it. They're a bunch of inbred royalist trash. And they do not deserve to control and dominate humanity, because history shows when you give somebody unlimited power, they get decadent, or their children get decadent, and they're screwing things up. They're endangering the planet because they want to order out of chaos, as Bush slipped up once and said, we got to create chaos so we can bring order. You know, order out of chaos, one of the little skull and bones maxims. That's why the globalists funded Hitler. That's why they funded Lenin and then Stalin. That's why they funded Mao. It's about 5 years ago, I almost fell out of my chair when I was watching the History Channel, and they have the old CIA section chief from Asia on going, oh yes, actually, contrary to popular belief, we actually backed Mao instead of the nationalist because we thought he was a better stabilizing influence. David Rockefeller, when Mao died in 76, told the New York Times editorial he wrote, saying, you know, he's a great man, great model. What he did is wonderful. In fact, I even have the quote. Will you hand me that book over there, sir? I mean, I can actually read the quote where he's praising Mao. Well, I knew that from government documents. I knew that. But why were they announcing that they actually put Mao Zedong into power in 1949?
Didn't we put Manuel Noriega in Panama in power, and now he's rotting away in some Illinois federal prison?
Well, George, I'm not kissing up to you just because you have the one of the biggest radio programs in the country with the most responsive listeners, but you always stun me with your breadth and understanding of history, and that's good to talk to somebody who understands history. And yes, if you go back to Eisenhower, who I thought was a pretty good president by and large, he called Fidel Castro the Abraham Lincoln of the Caribbean. Our government put him in.
Absolutely.
So, look, Bin Laden, CIA asset, it's admitted, MSNBC, Associated Press. I went to the UT microfilm. I was making a film about 3 or 4 years ago, the microfiche, and there were articles with Bin Laden in like 85 as this young hero fighting the Russians. There was Saddam, this great guy.
The Mujahideen.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same story, and I'm tired of it. Look, elite, you've got the power, you've got the control, you got 20 yachts and 100 jet airplanes and mansions in every city. You can have all of it. Just leave me alone. Don't put cancer viruses in my vaccine. Don't spray stuff into the air. You know, don't take my freedom away. Don't try to break our families up and take people's children away because they draw a stick figure with a knife. You know, don't put us all in your prisons. Don't do this to us, you control freak bastards.
Back in a moment, Alex Jones is our guest. I think he's just getting warmed up.
Want to time travel? Go back to past shows on Streamlink. Sign up online at coasttocoastam.com.
There's a yellow rose in Texas, I'm going there to see. No other fella knows her, nobody, only me. She cried so when I left her, it like to broke my heart. And if we ever meet again, we never more shall part. She's the sweetest rose of color a cowboy ever knew. Her eyes are bright as diamonds, they sparkle like the dew. You may talk about your dearest maids and sing of Rosalie, but the yellow rose of Texas beats the bells of Tennessee, where the Rio Grande...
From deep in the heart of Texas, Premier Radio Networks presents Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Indeed, live here at KLBJ in Austin, getting ready for the Talk Fest, which is tomorrow. They're going to put me to work. I'm going to be on the air for a couple hours. I'm here with Alex Jones, and we're going to be back with Alex in just a moment. The After Dark CD, it is available to you. Simple. You get two CDs included, 2.5 hours of great bumper music. You can order it by going to afterdarkcd.com or 800-598-2331. Also, the After Dark newsletter, where you get Art Bell's CD of Mel's Hole, fascinating stuff. Call 800-727-5505 for that one. That's a different number, 800-727-5505, or go online at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Alex Jones. Alex, a couple weeks ago, I was at my friendly store, and you know, I didn't have any cash on me, so I pulled out the old trusty credit card, and I bought what I needed to buy, and I went on my merry way. Do you see the day where we're going to have a cashless society?
We're already there in many respects. I call it the cashless society control grid. And the problem with the cashless society control grid is the government and other interests know exactly what you buy, what you do, where you go. And then if you're not a good little globalist, a good little surf on the world plantation, they can just turn the national ID card off. And under the law that they just passed, a small subsection of the 9/11 intelligence bill last month. They're going to implement it where you have to have your driver's license or your ID card, which is federally standardized at the state level. So you think it's a state ID,
sure,
but it's really federal. It just has the state on it.
Yeah,
it's a unit of the larger system. And then Governor Ridge, right before he left office, the head of Homeland Security, 2 weeks ago, traveled to the United Kingdom. And he gave a speech, and it was in the BBC and all their publications. He said, we need a world ID card. We standardize things in America. We now have a national ID card in America, and we need to have a world ID. And after they announce something, it's actually already been in the works. Now they're already standardizing the passports, standardizing the different ID cards. And they're also going to push a national sales tax, quote, to get rid of the income tax, but they'll actually keep that too. And then you'll have to swipe your card when you buy because it's going to be, quote, fair. We can't have poor people paying a sales tax, which I actually think is reasonable, but we have to swipe the card to make sure you're not cheating, and it will look at your tax bracket you're in and also register what you've purchased and what you're doing. And that harkens back to a USA Today article from early 2004 about how a lot of the big major pizza chains, the headline was Scoff Laws Get Caught, actually dial in to the federal databases and then in through the states, because a lot of people who are wanted, even for misdemeanor felonies, misdemeanors and felonies, it's instantly run through the NCIC, then through the state level. And then the pizza places get 20% of your court fees and fines, even if you're not convicted. And so this is already actually here. And this is one example of what the cashless society control grid will do. Already thousands of school districts don't allow any cash or meal tickets. You've got a thumb scan each time you buy your school lunch, and your parents have got to put the money into a bank account. Then the school also knows what you're buying and doing. But in the future, this will knock out the entire underground economy, which has always been a vital part of any free society. And there's just so many facets to it, but it swings the balance of power way away from the people towards the technocracy.
Also, the big banks that are controlling a lot of what's going on right now would love a cashless society, because then they wouldn't have to worry about the counterfeiters, would they?
No, they wouldn't. But if you look at counterfeiting, and they say it's a huge problem, and I guess to you or I it is when we hear about $6 billion a year of U.S. money being counterfeited. But in the aggregate, I mean, I saw a CBS News story quietly reported where $2.4 trillion is missing from the Pentagon over the last 10 years. $2.4 trillion, I mean, just...
Where'd it go?
Where'd it go? I mean, just type it into Google, $2.4 trillion missing from Pentagon, CBS News, it'll pop up. But why isn't that a top story? It was like one article that was there in the Associated Press. So they're telling us they're worried about $6 billion. Oh, this is why we're going to do this cashless society system. No, they're not really worried about counterfeiting. They want total control. They want to be able to micromanage and run our lives. And through that, they can also look at our buying habits, what we do. And we're already being forced onto this. You go to the grocery store and they say, we're going to tag 30% on your bill unless you take a store loyalty card.
Yeah.
Or you,
that's true.
Already some grocery stores in Texas have already put the thumb scanners in, George. They put in, say, first three self-checkout lanes. 2 years later, it's nine.
You get used to it, right?
It's nine self-checkout lanes and one service lane.
Yeah.
And I've walked into big hardware stores at night, 10 o'clock at night. I want to buy, you know, some light bulbs or something, and there's no one there but a security guard, and I have to use the self-checkout. And then now they're adding a thumb scanner to the self-checkout just to secure that your identity is going to be okay.
What are the unions doing about that? The unions for the cashiers and the baggers. And
they had to get
like
rid
that.
Of the unions. I mean, George, the unions have gone from, what, half the labor market being under union control to, what, 8%? And in Texas, quote, right to work state, you're looking at like 4%, I think.
When I was 16 years old, I got this card. See what it is?
Social Security.
It's my original card. I still have it.
God, it's crisp.
It sure is. It's a national ID card. What's wrong with having a national ID card?
Actually, George, can I see it?
No, only if you promise not to remember my Social Security number.
I don't have
crook.
That. That's right. I want to get the bank accounts now. It's on record. That's what I camped out for. But on here, it says on the Social Security cards, at least in the ones from the 80s, this is one that's older than that.
That was 1969.
It says on
them, 1966.
It says on them not to be used as a personal identification number.
It is now.
And then there was the Privacy Act of, 1986, that says it's a federal crime if someone demands you present this for services or for a job. But then everybody says you've got to have it, and the state laws say you've got to have it. And actually, this one doesn't say on it that it's not to be used as a personal ID number. So I guess that was the ones back in the 80s after the act. But you know, they say, what's wrong with a national ID card? That is a non-cashless society ID card. That's something you present to prove you're an American citizen.
I can't work without it.
You can't work without it. Well, I mean, it's already bad enough.
It's like the sign of the beast, isn't it?
Here's an example. Since you asked the question, let's use a real-world example of what we're talking about. A few months ago, I walk into one of the biggest gasoline chains in the country, petrol chains, and I walk in, and the guy behind the counter is a listener of my little broadcast here locally, and of course, yours, George, and he talks to me all the time, and I'm sitting there getting some coffee and stuff, and there's about a 45-year-old woman with some gray in her hair in front of me. She's buying a 12-pack of Bud Light, and she goes up to the counter, and she's there, and he says, I need to see your ID card. I need to see your driver's license. And he swipes it. It's got that stripe on the back.
Right.
In fact,
right.
You can see mine in a second. And so you showed me yours, I'll show you mine. And so he swipes it. And then he looks at the computer screen, he goes, okay. And she leaves, and I go, what did you just do? And I've been noticing that at other stores, but I kind of got conditioned and hadn't paid attention.
Yeah.
And he goes, we just got this new computer system a couple months ago. And he said, come behind the counter. Well, nobody's here. He's the manager. He pulls me behind. He goes, look. He goes, when I swipe my card, it shows if I've got warrants or it shows if this is expired.
No.
And either one, I'm not allowed to sell. And he goes, and he's a manager. He actually even owns the franchise, that little particular, I'm going to get too far into it. He goes, we went to a meeting and they were told soon everyone's going to have to do this for anything, even if it's cash. And I said, did they tell you why? And he goes, no, just that if we want to keep getting fuel from the company, we have to. And then since then, I went into one of the biggest drugstore chains and saw this going on. I mean, I've seen 80-year-old women, buying their husband pipe tobacco being swiped, George. So this has nothing to do with terrorism. You know, it's like children.
It's control.
You know, having a thumb scan to get school lunches. Exactly.
And it's ludicrous, but it's not going to stop. And that's what scares me, Alex. It seems to be growing out of control.
Yeah, unless you're an illegal alien, you have to do this. You have to go along with this.
I want to talk about someone who apparently committed suicide. I say apparently because it's a strange, strange case. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, Gary Webb. He's dead. His life basically went downhill after he lost his job at a newspaper because he was the one who exposed the CIA and their drug running in Los Angeles. And at that time, his newspaper did not back him, did not support him, and he got fired. And his career went downhill after that.
The San Jose Mercury News.
Gary Webb was his name. Gary Webb is dead, and I want to talk with you a little bit about that, because there's no question that he was depressed. His ex-wife says he was depressed. His brother says he was giving away some of his personal things. He didn't have a lot of money. Giving away his motorcycle, then he had one stolen. So he was going downhill, except the strangest part about this is he was an investigative reporter, and a darn good one. How do you shoot yourself twice in the head?
Well, you were in the military, and so you know a little bit about guns. This doesn't happen. In fact, I actually pulled up with a search dozens of mainstream news articles where police come to a scene that there's a suicide note, and then they see two gunshots to the head, and they go and solve the case and find out it was a murder. Folks, you shoot yourself in the head with a .38 Special.
Even if you're not dead, you're knocked out.
You're knocked out or you're in deep trouble. And the first shot, I now have the coroner's report, was from back behind the ear through the jaw, blowing out his teeth and his jaw. Okay, now, I mean, folks, I've been in a couple fist fights, you know, in high school and college. You get a good one on the chin, you're seeing stars. Try blowing your jaw off your face. I don't want to get, you know, too much more gory than that. And then he shoots himself in the head again, supposedly. And, look, Gary Webb, I'd interviewed Gary Webb many times. And I wish I'd have done something with it. When he left the San Jose Mercury News, he called me. And I've never told this story. He called me, and the disc is somewhere in the piles of material I have. And he said, you know, they had all my documents up on the San Jose Mercury News, Alex, and I'd like you to create a website and put this up on it, all these documents, all this proof. Right. And you know how it is being busy. I just laid it down. Sure. It was a great idea. I told my webmaster to do it. This is like in 99 or something, and just forgot, never did it. And I've been digging around for it ever since. But there are sites now that have all that material. And the San Jose Mercury News never said, we don't back your story. They just said, we apologize, we don't know. I mean, he had eyewitnesses. He had former heads of the DEA in Latin America. He had the biggest drug dealer, a convicted drug dealer on the West Coast freeway, Ricky Ross. And it just so happened, right before Gary died, I'm working with another film company on a drug war film, and I had interviewed Free Ricky Ross from prison. He's right here in Texas, actually, mm-hmm, up in the Panhandle. Mm-hmm. And I had interviewed him, and those interviews are posted at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And the day after people learned he died, 2 days after he died, I called up Freeway Ricky Ross at he called us with his weekly call, but I was there for it at 10 o'clock, and this is from a correctional facility. The call comes through, and I go, "Have you heard the news?" He goes, "What news?" I go, "Gary Webb, died from gunshot wounds to the head." That had come out immediately, and he said, "That's unbelievable." He goes, "You know, I haven't talked to him in about a year, but the last time he talked to me, he said." And we put the audio of this taped phone call on the web. He said, Gary told me people are climbing up and down my house. These are government types, they're like special forces mm-hmm, types. Mm-hmm. He said, I've been getting threats. Then I talked to Chico Brown, who was the co-defendant but was never convicted with Frio Ricky. And these are major sources he used in papers. These are people he trusted.
Right,
and these
right.
are his friends. People said, well, these guys, one of these guys in prison, don't listen to him.
Right,
no,
right.
I mean, this has been documented. Said that he had, in just the last few years, been getting death threats. All of this had been happening. He'd been getting followed by government cars. He was working on a new book doing all of this. And
yet others say he was very depressed.
Well, yeah, and some of the people right? saying he was very depressed, Mr. Webb told the Boston newspaper that he didn't agree with him. It's funny, people that are speaking for him, Gary Webb mm-hmm. from the grave is in the Boston newspaper saying he doesn't agree with those people. So, I mean, and this is a dead guy, so I'm standing up for him here.
You think he was killed?
Look, I've just done so much hunting. I've
killed.
Shot wild boars in the head. I've shot deer in the head, and I know you shoot something in the head, it isn't going and cocking the gun and shooting itself again. I mean, you were in the military. It just doesn't happen. There are really no known cases of this, unless you're talking about Vince Foster. And of course, he didn't shoot himself twice, but different gun and all this happening. The only other known cases of this are Arkansas, where people would shoot themselves twice in the back of the head with a shotgun, where people would cut their own arms and legs off and pour gasoline on their bodies right. and set themselves on fire.
Or commit suicide with their hands tied behind their back.
Exactly. I mean, there's or be machine gunned off the road in a car found full of bullet holes, and they committed suicide. Look, he shot himself twice in the head. That's admitted. And all I know is I don't trust these police departments when they come out and say it's a suicide. And I know this, George, I'm not planning to commit suicide. And, I've gotten death threats before, and I sure hope that if I get two gunshots in my head or one in my head, there's an investigation. Because I'm not planning to go anytime soon. I love life. And Gary Webb, I'd probably talk to him, about 6-8 months ago. And
did he sound okay?
He sounded really upbeat and happy. And so I'm sad for Gary Webb, but he was a real investigative journalist, a Pulitzer Prize winning author, never had his prize revoked. He had documented this. I mean, I've interviewed CIA agents who were in Mena, Arkansas, unloading the cocaine. I had family who was in the military who in the 1980s were in Guatemala. And that's all I'm going to say,
mm-hmm.
building
mm-hmm.
airfields. I mean, I don't have to even go talk to investigative journalists or talk to former CIA agents. I got family who won't talk about it on the air, but will tell me privately about what they saw. And, they were just there, building airfields. Look, Most of the drugs that are shipped into this country are brought in by private interests that have government license. And the cartels you hear about that get busted, George, are the people that didn't pay their cut into the central banks. It's like Tony Montana says in Scarface, you know, the TV commercial for the banks on TV, and he goes, that's my boss, you know, that's the real drug dealer. Yeah. That's the people that launder the money. In fact, Reuters reported back in 1998 that the head of the New York Stock Exchange went to the FARC guerrillas. There's pictures of him hugging him. And it's actually not even against the law that foreign countries can invest drug money in the stock market as long as it's not done from here in the U.S. And they told him, you invest with us or it's over for you. We're wiping you out. And so the invasion begun. We've had a 3 or 4 year war down there. And our spray planes are only in the 1/3 of the country controlled by the communist FARC. And again, I'm no supporter of the communist FARC. The point is they're only going after the cocaine, cocoa plant, and the poppies that aren't owned by the globalist. I mean, it's like Afghanistan. They had gone from producing 70% of world opium in the 1990s to, in 2000, producing only about 10-15% of it. Now they're back above 80.
They're back up again.
Yeah, I mean, they're back to record levels, and the smack is hitting the street all over Europe and the East Coast. And our children are dying from it. So I want that poison to stop being pumped into our country. And I want to ask, I mean, literally, just type opium production at record levels in Afghanistan. You'll get hundreds of major respected publications, and you'll hear about our special forces standing around guarding it. And the excuse is, well, the drug lords and the warlords are working with us, so we have to work with them. Yeah, but then it's U.S. company C-130s flying out with the poison.
You believe that?
Listen, it's an open secret. It's an open secret. They can stop, you know, a small plane fly. Look, I've talked to people that are down on the southern border with these satellites looking down. They've got these big blimps tethered for decades there. They can see everything, and they're told, okay, we got planes coming in, and they're told. They type it in the computer. They get a message back, leave that alone. Okay, stop this one, and then that's all it is. It's the competition is stopped, and you've got these good compartmental people in the military who are just following orders, and it's brought in. It's been in Esquire magazine where good FBI or good local state police go to an airfield in Miami, and it's a jet full of cocaine and heroin and buckets of cash, and the guys flash CIA credentials, and they go ahead and hold them. Oh, that's fake. And they get a National Security Council call. You know, that's Esquire magazine. Release them. Associated Press, back in 98, they caught 3 tons of cocaine in an 18-wheeler down on the Texas-Mexico border, and the Border Patrol was all proud, showing it on television.
Look what we got.
Look what we got. And the next day, DEA shows up and goes, this is part of an operation. Give us the truck. That's it. You guys don't get any bonuses for getting this. And that's the end of the story. And the officers got mad and went public over it. So, George, that's the kind of stuff we cover at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. We simply take all the bills, the legislation, the admitted news that's not put into perspective, and we, you know, decipher out what, you know, what's O.J. Simpson doing, or what is, you know, Lacey Peterson doing. We cut all that out, and, you know, basically cut out what the weather is, and just kind of sift through all the sand and get the gold out, and then put it all there for people. And then we put that in the films, in the documentaries, you know, in these 2-hour formats, just showing people left after right hook of the information. And then we say, okay, make your own decision, just like Coast to Coast does.
We'll be back with Alex Jones in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Subscribe to After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505.